Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 1, The Later Pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Texts 83 through 87. 87 is up on the board. I will read 83 through 86 myself. भागवतेर श्लोक गुणार्थ विशद करीना रूप गोसाई श्लोक कोइल लोक बुझाइना. इन वन वर्स श्रील रूप गोस्वामी हैज एक्सप्लेन्ड द कॉन्फिडेंशियल मीनिंग ऑफ द वर्स ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम फॉर द अंडरस्टैंडिंग ऑफ द जनरल पॉपुलस. टेक्स्ट 84. याते लीला रस परिमलोद्गारी वन्या परिता धन्या क्षौणी विलसति वृता माथुरी माथुरीभिः तत्रास्माभिः चटुलपशुपि भाव मुग्धांतराभिः संवीतस्त्वं कलय वदनोल्लासि वेणुर्विहारम्. द गोपीज कंटिन्यूड, डियर कृष्णा, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavan, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions. Text 85. Sorry, purport to this verse. This is a verse from the Lalita Madhava 10.38 by Srila Rupa Goswami. 85.
Emato Mahaprabhu Dekhi Jagannathe सुभद्रा सहित देखे वंशी नहीं हाते.
इन दिस वे व्हेन श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु सॉ जगन्नाथ ही सॉ दैट द लॉर्ड वॉज विथ हिज सिस्टर सुभद्रा एंड वॉज नॉट होल्डिंग अ फ्लूट इन हिज हैंड. 86.
त्रिभंग सुंदर व्रजे व्रजेन्द्र नंदन कहां पाब ऐ वांछा बड़े अनुक्षण.
Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. Text 87.
Radhika unmada jayche uddhava darshane udghurna pralapa तैचे प्रभुरा रात्रि दिने. राधिका उन्माद जैचे उद्धव दर्शने उद्घूर्णा प्रलाप तैचे प्रभुर रात्रि दिने. राधिका उन्माद जयचे उद्धव दर्शने उद्घूर्णा प्रलाप तैचे प्रभुर रात्रि दिने. राधिका उन्माद जयचे उद्धव दर्शने उद्घूर्ण प्रलाप तैचे प्रभुर रात्रि दिने.
राधिका उन्मादा ऐच्छे उद्धव दर्शने उद्घूर्णा प्रलाप थे प्रभुरा रात्रि दिने
Matajis, ladies. Radhika Unmada, the madness of Srimati Radharani, Joiche, just like Uddhava Darshane, in seeing Uddhava, Udghurna Pralapa, talking inconsistently in madness. Toiche, similarly, Prabhura of Lord Chaitanya, Ratri Dine, night and day. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee in the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. Purport. This unmad, madness, is not ordinary madness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talked inconsistently, almost like a crazy fellow, he was in the transcendental ecstasy of love. In the highest transcendental ecstasy, there is a feeling of being enchanted in the presence of the enchanter. When the enchanter and the enchanted become separated, mohana or bewilderment occurs. When so bewildered due to separation, one becomes stunned. And at that time, all the bodily symptoms of transcendental ecstasy are manifested. When they are manifest, one appears inconceivably crazy. This is called transcendental madness. In this state, there is imaginative discourse, and one experiences emotions like those of a madman. The madness of Srimati Radharani was explained to Krishna by Uddhava, who said, "My dear Krishna, because of extreme feelings of separation from you, Srimati Radharani is sometimes making her bed in the groves of the forest, sometimes rebuking a bluish cloud, and sometimes wandering about in the dense darkness of the forest. Thus she has become like a crazy woman." Please repeat the translation. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently,
yes,
with a bumblebee
in the presence of Uddhava,
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
in his ecstasy,
talked crazily
and inconsistently
day and night.
Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakt Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we're going to talk about how mad we want to be. One time one devotee was complaining that when he became a devotee, his family members told him, "You've gone crazy." So he was upset about that. So I said, "They're right. You have gone crazy. The goal of life is to become crazy, but not crazy in the way that the people of the world are. Crazy for Krishna. The highest perfection of devotional service is that love of God in which one experiences such transcendental ecstasy." So this craziness as exhibited by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srimati Radharani is not possible for any living entity to experience or exhibit. Now, as we all know, there are 9 stages in the process of pure devotional service, starting from Ado Shraddha. In the beginning there is Shraddha, very little faith. And then one gets Sadhu Sangha, the association of devotees. The devotees engage us in Bhajana Kriya, which means the activities of devotional service. As one does Bhajana Kriya, there is the process of cleansing of the heart, which is called Anartha Nivritti. As one continues performing devotional service, when the heart is being purified, one develops a certain steadiness and determination in Krishna consciousness, which is called Nishtha. As one progresses further, there is a stage of taste, then there is Asakti or intense attachment. Then there is the development of ecstatic emotions called bhava. And finally there is a stage of prema, which is pure love of Godhead. The stage of bhava is the stage that is just prior to prema. It is like the bud. And prema is like the flower that blooms from that bud. So in bhava, one is almost there, but not quite. Even in prema, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are stages. And the final stage of prema, so within prema there are sub-categories. And the final one is called Mahabhava. Now that stage of Mahabhava is possible only for Srimati Radharani and for
not for ordinary living entities. They can attain other stages of prema, perhaps, but not this stage of Mahabhava. So, and as we all know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, who has accepted the mood and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naumi Krishna Swarupam. So Mahaprabhu is Krishna Swarupam. He is Krishna himself, but he has come with Radha Bhava, with the bhava or the mood of Srimati Radharani and also her dyuti. Dyuti means the complexion, golden complexion. So Mahaprabhu is also here experiencing that same transcendental emotion that Srimati Radharani experiences, or rather the specific emotion that she experienced at a certain time, which represents the pinnacle of her own transcendental ecstasy. And the mystery behind this is about Uddhava's coming to Vrindavan, being sent as a messenger of Krishna. When Krishna left Vrindavan and came to Mathura, the residents of Vrindavan were heartbroken. And this heartbreak found its perfection or its ultimate limit in the transcendental feelings of separation exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan and even amongst them by Srimati Radharani. So when Uddhava came to Vrindavan and he saw the condition of the Brajabasis, he was struck with wonder. Uddhava is not an ordinary devotee. He is considered the best devotee in Mathura and Dwarka. A very close confidant of Krishna, his counselor, his friend. And Krishna thought it fit to send Uddhava to Mathura, purportedly or supposedly to pacify the Brajabasis. How could the Brajabasis be satisfied by anything other than Krishna? So only in one sense Krishna wanted the Brajabasis pacified, which happened to only some degree. But the real intention of Krishna was to broadcast to the world through Uddhava the glories of the love of the Brajabasis for him, and particularly that of the gopis, and particularly that of Srimati Radharani. So at the time that Uddhava came into Vrindavan, he met Nanda Maharaj and they welcomed him nicely. The gopis were surprised. Initially they thought it was Krishna who had come, and from a distance Uddhava also looked like Krishna. But then on closer inspection, they understood it was not Uddhava, it was not Krishna, it was Uddhava. So when Uddhava went into the midst of the gopis to convey the message of Krishna, and he was trying to speak words of knowledge, of so many things, transcendental knowledge, the gopis were not at all concerned with these things. What did they have to do with knowledge, even if it was transcendental knowledge? They had already attained the ultimate pinnacle of the fruit, the sweetest part of the fruit of transcendental knowledge. They were already experiencing that. So they didn't want to hear about body and soul and this and that, jnana yoga, karma yoga, this, that. They didn't want to hear all that. So at the specific time when Uddhava came there, the gopis were feeling intense separation from Krishna. And at that time, Srimati Radharani was experiencing the kind of state of madness that has been described here. And specifically, she was speaking to a bumblebee. And that chapter is called the Song of the Bee, the 47th chapter. There is a certain section of that, which is called the Bhramara Gita. So we'll come to that a little later. So this is the situation when Uddhav comes and he sees Srimati Radharani in her transcendental madness, and he's speechless. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to make of this. He did not imagine that such devotion for Krishna would ever be possible for anyone. Now he understands why Krishna has sent him to Vrindavan. It's not that he would instruct the gopis or brajabasis in something, but Krishna wanted the gopis and other brajabasis to instruct Uddhava on the mysteries of the devotion of Vrindavan. So the background to the passage here, the verses here, we have to go back a few verses where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to chant a certain verse during the Rath Yatra when he was in front of Lord Jagannath, and no one except Swarup Damodar understood the real meaning of this verse. At first hearing, this verse simply was about the love affairs between a young boy and a young girl. And why would a sannyasi, and why would Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of all people have to chant such a verse that seems so mundane? But obviously Mahaprabhu had a very deep transcendental reason for reciting such a verse, and only Swarup Damodar understood it. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was visiting Haridas Thakur in his place of residence, he saw this palm leaf that had been inserted into the roof, the thatched roof of the hut in which Haridas Thakur stayed. And he picked up that leaf. In those days there was no paper, people used to write on leaves. And he read the verse. It was a verse that had been composed by Sri Rupa Goswami, who was visiting Puri at that time, and he was staying with Haridas Thakur. Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Gaur Nitai ki jai, Sri Sri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Mahaprabhu was astonished to see that the verse that Rupa Goswami had composed exactly explained the verse that Mahaprabhu would chant at the Rath Yatra. And with great affection he lightly slapped him. "How did you know the innermost feelings of my heart?" And the devotees, especially Haridas Thakur, Swarup Damodar, began to glorify Rupa Goswami and say that now they could understand that Rupa Goswami was the recipient of the special mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the verse that Rupa Goswami composed explained the situation that existed in Kurukshetra when the residents of Dwarka had come there for the solar eclipse, and the residents of Vrindavan had also come there. And this was many years after Krishna had left Vrindavan. So when the gopis saw Krishna in Kurukshetra, this time as a prince on a chariot, not as a cowherd boy, Srimati Radharani in particular had mixed feelings. So those mixed feelings are expressed in this verse of composed by Srila Rupa Goswami. Priyah soyam Krishna sahachari Kurukshetra melitas tathaham saradhatad idam ubhayo sangama sukham tathapyantah khelan madhura moroli panchamajushe manome kalindi pulina vipinaya sprihyati. So this is that famous verse of Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami says, "Priya saha ayam, O sahachari." Sahachari means my friends, my gopi friends. So Srimati Radharani is addressing her gopi friends and saying, "Oh my dear friends, now this Krishna here is very dear to me. He's also my very dear friend. Priya soyam Krishna sahachari." So my dear friends, Krishna here is my very old and dear friend. Now Kurukshetra Melitas. Now again we are meeting in Kurukshetra. And this is giving me Sangama Sukham. So definitely meeting Krishna here is giving me a lot of happiness. Priha Soyam Krishna Sahachari Kurukshetra Melitas Tatha Aham Saradha. So he is the same Krishna and I am the same Radha. And definitely I am feeling some happiness, Sangama Sukham, by meeting him. Tathapi, still, Antah Khelan Madhura Murali Panchamajushe. Still I am feeling, I am remembering Krishna playing the flute on the fifth note. And where does he do that? Kalindi Vipina, in the banks, Kalinda Pulina Vipina, under the trees on the banks of the Kalindi River or the Yamuna River. So that is what I am remembering. So this is my memory. So my heart keeps racing to that vision. So Srimati Radharani is seeing Krishna in Kurukshetra. She is happy that she has seen Krishna finally after a long time. But still she is not happy. Because she would rather see Krishna not as a prince, not as someone dressed in royal finery and surrounded by all kinds of warriors and assistants and servants and so on. But she wants to see him as the cowherd boy in Vrindavan that she remembers. And especially she remembers him playing the flute on the fifth note, standing under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna. So this is her remembrance. And therefore she wants to take Krishna back to Vrindavan. She doesn't want to see him in the mood of Dwarka. She wants to see him as the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. So that is the background here. And Kaviraj Goswami says, O devotees, please hear a brief explanation of this verse. Now what is going on here in the last several verses, including this one, is an explanation of this verse of Srila Rupa Goswami. And in the course of explaining this, he explains what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was considering the mentality or the mindset of Srimati Radharani, who didn't like seeing him with all the horses and the finery and everything, Srimati Radharani and the gopis were speaking this famous verse from the 82nd chapter of the 10th canto. It's also a very famous verse. Ahushchate nalina nabha padar vindam yogaishvare hridi vichintyam agadha bodhai sansara kupa patitottaranavalambam geham jushamapi manasyudhya sadanah. In which the gopis are speaking to one another and they said, or actually they're speaking to Krishna, they are saying, O Nalina Nabha. Nalina means the lotus. Nabhi means the lotus. So Nalina Nabha means Krishna, who has the navel like a lotus. O Krishna, Padaravinda, your lotus feet are being much sought after by the Agadha Bodhaihi, by those whose intelligence is very broad. That means the jnanis and the yogis and the big mystics. So all these great sages, they constantly seek your lotus feet and they want to absorb their minds in your lotus feet. And what about us little ordinary people of the village? We are not educated people, we are not great sages,
We are just ordinary people, you know, ladies in the forest of Vrindavan. Geham Jushair. So we're engaged in ordinary household activities. And Sansara Kopa Patita. We have fallen into the dark well of material existence. So Uttarana Avalambam. So please deliver us and give us shelter. And for us, Api Manasi, let in our minds Udiyat Sadanaha. Let those lotus feet awaken within our hearts. Even though we are not qualified, even though we are just ordinary, you know, maidens of the village of Vrindavan, we are cowherding girls. We have no qualifications like the great sages. We have not performed any austerities. We don't know the Vedic scriptures. We can't chant any mantras. But still, it is our prayer to you that those lotus feet awaken in our heart. So this verse is cited by Kaviraj Goswami in the explanation to Rupa Goswami's verse, and this verse now is being further explained. So the verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is being explained. And then in the verses starting from today, text 83, Kaviraj Goswami says, in one verse, Rupa Goswami has explained the confidential meaning of this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means the verse that I just recited, which was spoken by the gopis, that is further being explained by Rupa Goswami in the 84th verse, which I read the translation of. I'll read that translation again. Dear Krishna, the fragrance of the mellows of your pastimes is spread throughout the forests of the glorious land of Vrindavana, which is surrounded by the sweetness of the district of Mathura. In the congenial atmosphere of that wonderful land, you may enjoy your pastimes with your flute dancing on your lips, and surrounded by us, the gopis, whose hearts are always enchanted by unpredictable ecstatic emotions. So this is the mood, and Rupa Goswami is explaining the whole setting of the gopis' consciousness when they are in Kurukshetra. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was gazing at Jagannath as he first entered there, he saw only Jagannath. And he saw his sister Subhadra standing next to him, and he didn't see his flute. Now that is not the mood in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu usually saw Jagannath. When he saw Jagannath, he saw him as Shyam Sundar playing the flute. He saw Vrindavan there, even though that was the same Jagannath with the big eyes and the hands stretched out like that. But initially, when he saw this, then he began to see, and I'll read the text number 86, that is the verse previous to the one on the board. Absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wished to see Lord Jagannath in his original form as Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, standing in Vrindavan and appearing very beautiful, his body curved in three places. His desire to see that form was always increasing. Meaning that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's aspiration and deepest desire was to see Krishna standing in Vrindavan playing the flute in his threefold bending form. Tribhanga Sundara Braje Brajendra Nandana Kaha Babo Evancha Bodhi Anukhana. So his desire to see Krishna Tribhanga in the threefold bending form, Sundara looking very beautiful, Vraje in Vrindavan, as Vrajendra Nandan, the son of Nanda Maharaj. This aspiration was very strong in Mahaprabhu's heart as he stood in front of Lord Jagannath. Now, question about this Tribhanga Sundara. Krishna is bent in three places. Does anyone know which three places? Somebody asked the question, is why is Krishna bent? You know, is it a genetic defect or something? Why is he bent? Krishna is bent at three places. Which three places? Is he always bent in three places? It's not a genetic defect, right? So where is he bent? The neck, the waist, and the knees. It's not that Krishna is always bent like that. Yes? Now, a bit of information on classical dance from India. Okay? So let's venture a little bit into classical dance, classical Vedic Indian sculpture and painting. Now, the bhanga indicates a bending. So in dances like the Odissi and other various forms of dance, there are various postures. Incidentally, in India you will see all the traditional forms of culture were very strongly rooted in devotion to the Supreme Lord. You look at Manipuri dance, which is all about the Rasa Leela and Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Look at Odissi, you know, whether it is Bharatanatyam, Kathakali, Kathak. Mostly they are based on devotional themes. So in any case, they are very expressive. The facial expressions, the mudras, the mudras means the expressions and postures of the face, the mudras of the fingers, very subtle expressions and movements and postures. So bhanga, or the bending of the body, is one such part of the dance, right? So there are different types of bending. One is samabhanga, when you don't bend. When you're standing upright and the weight of the body is equally distributed on the 2 feet. So you're just standing straight, normal posture. Then there is abhanga, when the weight of your body is more on 1 foot. So you're bending a little and you're tilting, yes? Then there is atibhanga, when you're really diagonal and the torso and the head and the waist are all in different directions. And then there is tribhanga. Tribhanga is when the knees are bent, then the waist or the hips are bent and the torso is bent in the opposite direction. And then the neck is also bent, again in the opposite direction. Do we have a picture? There is a little picture of Krishna. You can see the neck, then the waist like that, and the neck like that. So they bend in different directions. So this is called tribhanga. So Krishna is bent like that. And therefore this tribhanga thing is there very much in Sanskrit literature. It is there in all forms of dance and music and painting and sculpture. Many of the deities also are in tribhanga form. Yeah. In Brahma Samhita, which is that famous verse that also talks about tribhanga lalitam. Anyone remembers that verse of Brahma Samhita? Yes, exactly. Who said that? Okay, great. So shall we all recite that verse? Alola Chandra Kalasad, yes? How many of you remember that? Or maybe if we chant, then we'll all come. Alola Chandra Kalasadvanamalyavanshi Ratnanganam Pranaya Keli Kalavilasam Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, Alola Chandraka Lasat Vanamalya. So, Krishna is being described by Brahma. He is wearing a garland that also has the moon locket. The garland is of forest flowers. Alola Chandraka. So Chandraka is the moon locket. So Alola Chandraka Lasat Vanamalya. Vanshi Ratnangadam. And his hands are decorated with jeweled ornaments and also with the flute. So Krishna is standing there with the garland of forest flowers that has the moon locket, and his hands are decorated with the flute and also with some ornaments. Pranaya Keli Kalavilasam. So he is enjoying, he revels in pastimes of love. Pranaya means love, Keli means pastimes. Vilasam means to enjoy. So he's enjoying past, he's reveling in pastimes of love. Shyamam, he's dark complexioned, specifically the complexion of a freshly formed monsoon cloud. And Tribhanga Lalitam, Lalita means graceful. So he's looking very graceful as he stands in his threefold bending form, Tribhanga Lalitam. Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham. Prakash means manifest, and Niyata means exhibited, always. So this is Krishna's transcendental pose. In most pictures and paintings of Krishna, even in the deity form, as we see here with Gokulananda, he's standing in that threefold bending form. Yes, so you see that, that's the standard pose, the Tribhanga Lalita. Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham. That's exactly what we see as Gokulananda is standing here playing the flute. So this is the form that is being mentioned in this verse, 86th verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hankers to see. When he sees Jagannath, then he's disappointed. Why am I seeing Subhadra next to him, and where is the flute gone? So he's thinking about this form. This is the form that he wants to see, and this is the form that we should always aspire to see also in our hearts. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochinena santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shyama sundaram achinta guna swarupam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. So the great saintly souls whose eyes are anointed or smeared with the ointment of pure love see the Lord as Shyama Sundara within the heart. They don't see the Lord as four-handed Paramatma, the Vishnu form within the heart. That is for the yogis. But the pure devotees of the Lord in the mood of Vrindavan see Krishna in this Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham form, playing the flute. That is the standard form of Krishna, which is the object of the meditation of the devotees of Vrindavan. Of course, there are so many other pastimes that Krishna performs in Vrindavan, and the devotees would like to meditate on these other forms and other pastimes as well. But this is, so to speak, the standard form. And that is why all the deities of Krishna that you see will be in this form. In the next verse then, 87th, which is up on the board, Kaviraj Goswami speaks about the transcendental madness of Srimati Radharani, and that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited this transcendental madness, and in his ecstasy he talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. Now naturally we can't imitate such emotions. That would be sahajiya. There are some people who try to imitate such emotions without actually having them. Now these emotions are not material emotions. These tears are not ordinary material tears. There are so many people who cry very easily. Something happens, they start crying. But you know, even if it happens in connection to devotional service, it may just be that somebody is very emotional or very sentimental. They may or may not be spiritual tears. And particularly those not for our regular devotees, but for those Prakrita Sahajiyas, Upa Sampradayas, those who try to imitate exalted states of devotion just to get some respect and prestige. Such tears, Srila Prabhupada said, washes away all the conclusions of the Vedas. But the kind of tears and madness and inconsistent talking that is referred to here is the stage of Mahabhava. So the mood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has imbibed, or rather the one that he dwells in internally, is not just the mood of Vrindavan. It is the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan. Not just the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan, it is the mood that Uddhava saw when he came to Vrindavan. And it's not just the mood that Uddhava saw when he saw the gopis. It's the mood of Srimati Radharani. And not just the mood of Srimati Radharani when Uddhava saw her, but it is the mood when she was talking to this bumblebee. That state of transcendental madness is exactly the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this speaking of Srimati Radharani to the bumblebee, it appears in the 47th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is famously known as Bhramara Gita. Bhramar means the bee. Now there are many Gitas or songs in our devotional literature. The most famous, of course, is Bhagavad Gita, the song of Bhagavan. But in the first 9 cantos and in the 11th and 12th cantos, also there are many songs. Can you mention some of the Gitas in the sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam apart from the 10th canto? Any Gitas that you can remember, the famous ones? Uddhava Gita in the 11th canto. Rudra Gita in which canto? 4th canto. The song sung by Lord Shiva, which was taught to the Prachetas, Rudra Gita. Then? Pururava song, what is it called? Aila Gita, excellent. Which canto? 11th canto. Then, where else? Kapila Gita. It's not exactly referred to as a song in the community of devotees. Yeah, anything else? 10th canto, I'm saying non-10th canto. There is Bhumi Gita in the 12th canto. And more or less, Mahishi Gita also, Bhikshu Gita in the 11th canto. Bhikshu Gita is the song of the Avanti Brahmin, that celebrated song. So there are many songs like this in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the best songs of all are in the 10th canto. So how many songs can you think of from the 10th canto? Please, you can raise your hand so that we can. Yes. Gopi Gita. Which chapter? 31, that's right. And the context, the background of this verse is, of this song, is that when Krishna is, actually it's the night of the Sharad Purnima, and Krishna is playing the flute. And the flute playing of Krishna is the most beautiful ornament of Braj, especially in the autumn season. So autumn season, Sharad Purnima, Krishna playing the flute in the forest, nothing better than that. So they hear the sounds of Krishna playing the flute, and the gopis rush into the forest. And then Krishna performs some pastimes with them, and he realizes that the gopis have got a little proud. So he disappears. So when he disappears, then the gopis are searching all over for him, and they sing the song called the Gopi Gita in separation. That's 31. which other songs from the 10th canto? Yes. Venu Gita, excellent. Which chapter? 21. The Venu Gita is the song of Krishna's flute. As Krishna leaves for the forest from the village, along with his cowherd boyfriends, along with the cows, and he's playing the flute. As he hops and jumps and dances and he goes along with his friends into the forest, he's playing his flute, and the gopis are seeing this, they are hearing this, and then they glorify the sound of Krishna's flute. And what happens to different categories of entities when they hear this flute? So that is the famous Venu Gita. So we've 10th canto, we've got Gopi Gita, we've got the Venu Gita. Which other Gitas? Famous songs.
Yugala Gita.
Yugala Gita, excellent. Which chapter? 35th chapter. So the Yugala Gita is also a beautiful song which is sung by the gopis as Krishna wanders in the forest and he's playing the flute. So the gopis are hearing that flute, and as Krishna is moving around in the forest grazing the cows, and the gopis sing these songs. So most of these songs are songs of separation from Krishna. Yeah. So they are in Vrindavan. Krishna hasn't left Braj, but he's not physically with the gopis, so they're feeling that separation. So we have the Gopi Gita, we have the Venu Gita, we have the Yugala Gita in the 35th chapter. Any more? Sorry? Pranaya Gita, excellent. Pranaya means love. So this Pranaya Gita is also an important verse. Well, actually, all the songs are sort of songs of love. Yes, which else? There's also a Viraha Gita, which is from the 39th chapter. Pranaya Gita actually is the 29th chapter. Of the 10th canto. And that is when Krishna and the gopis meet for the Rasalila. So in their happiness they recite this. And then there is the Bhramara Gita, which I just mentioned before, which is a song of the bumblebee, where Srimati Radharani rebukes the bee. And if any other person were to see something like this, they would think the person is crazy. So it is this state of transcendental craziness that Mahaprabhu, that Uddhava sees, and it is this bhava that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has got and which he wants. That is why Krishna has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to specifically, exactly get that mood of Srimati Radharani when she is chanting this Bhramara Gita, when she is singing this song. So I'll read that translation of the 87th verse up again. So kindly repeat. Just as Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently with a bumblebee In the presence of Uddhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy, talked crazily and inconsistently day and night. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribo. Maybe one or two questions or comments. Yes.
Thank you very much for that lecture. I wanted to ask about the form, Trivandra form of Krishna. So we worship it because Krishna, you mentioned the dances, so my association was that we are worshipping him in a form which he's dancing, or why we worship that form? Like, what is the significance?
Okay, your question is, why do we specifically meditate on the form in which Krishna is in his three bending in three places and playing the flute? Is he dancing or is he just standing?
Yes, because you mentioned the dances and then the different forms. So
yes. So, is the dancing of Krishna more an object of meditation for us, or is the Tribhanga form, standing still, the object of meditation? Yes? That's the question?
Yeah, the question is, what is the significance? Why this form?
Okay, why this Tribhanga, threefold bending form of Krishna?
Yes.
Why does Krishna do that?
Yes.
Yes?
And why we worship him?
And why we want to think of him like that?
Yes.
He does so because his flute playing, as I mentioned, is his chief weapon. It's the most attractive thing of Krishna that captures anybody's heart. Yes, his beauty, his eyes, his face, all beautiful. But in Vrindavan, the thing that captivates and stuns everybody into ecstasy is the flute playing of Krishna. So specifically Krishna's, it's also one of his four special qualities, the Madhurya, the four qualities that even Narayan doesn't have, none of the other expansions of the Lord have, even Balaram doesn't have. All the Balaram and the other Gopas also play the flute, but no one can play the flute like Krishna. So Venu Madhuri, the sweetness of Krishna in his playing of the flute, is extraordinary. Of course, there is also Prema Madhuri, that he surrounds himself by loving devotees. Leela Madhuri performs the most sweet pastimes. And there is Rupa Madhuri, his beautiful form. So all these four Madhuris are objects of meditation for the devotees of Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. But Venu Madhuri is one of them, one of the four. And in the deity form, you can't show, you can show Krishna dancing. In one place, I know there is Vrindavan Natwar, they show Krishna dancing and playing the flute. So his leg is raised, one leg, one foot is raised. So there are some deities like that, but generally because he's standing in one place and he's bestowing his mercy on us, this is the form in which he was standing under the Vamshivata tree on the bank of the Yamuna on the night of the Sharad Purnima. He was standing in that pose, and that is the pose in which the gopis saw him when they all came rushing there. So he prefers that pose because I guess it looks very dashing or something. I suppose, you know. So, something like that.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful class. From my understanding is that Shamsundar Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. Instead, he becomes a manifest, and it's Vasudeva Krishna that goes to Dwarka. So is it the same with the residents of Braj, that they never leave Vrindavan, but there's an expansion that goes to Kurukshetra?
Okay, so just as it is said, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan, but he still goes to Mathura and Dwarka, is it the same with the residents of Vrindavan? Yes? Well, there is Prakat Leela and there is Aprakat Leela, right? Manifest pastimes and unmanifest pastimes. So Krishna performed his manifest pastimes in Vrindavan for approximately 10.5 years. And then he moved his manifest pastimes to Mathura and later to Dwarka. But in Vrindavan, he continued his pastimes on the unmanifest platform. Because in Vrindavan, Krishna is eternally residing. So when we say Vrindavanam Parityajya Padamekam Nagacchati, that Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan, we mean that in his unmanifest presence, He is always there. Unmanifest to whom? Unmanifest to us. To the residents of Vrindavan, he is always manifest. In Goloka Vrindavan, he is always there. Even in Bhauma Vrindavan, he is still there, but not visible to our vision. But to those who have the eyes, he is there. So he is manifest for them. So even when Krishna departed from Vrindavan in the manifest Leela and performed his Mathura Leela, in the unmanifest form, he continues there. Because you see, Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka exist eternally in Krishna Loka in the spiritual world. And Krishna exists simultaneously in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. So because this is the material world and Krishna has manifested his abodes in the material world, on the manifest plane, he doesn't simultaneously manifest in all three places. On the unmanifest platform, he's there. So therefore, Krishna's pastimes move like that. His manifest pastimes may change, but unmanifest pastimes go on. As far as the residents of Vrindavan are concerned, they don't go outside Vrindavan, even in the manifest pastimes, except on rare occasions like going to Kurukshetra. They don't want to leave Vrindavan at any cost. They don't like the opulence of London or New York or Kurukshetra or Hastinapur or whatever it is. They just want the forests of Vrindavan, they want the Yamuna, they want the Govardhan, they want the cows. So they don't move out. Okay? All right. Yes, one last question. Yeah. Before people start feeling separation from prasadam. You see, feelings of separation and love cannot be separated. There can be feelings of separation only when there is love. If you don't love somebody, you will not feel any separation from that person. Out of sight, out of mind. Yes? But there's also absence makes the heart grow fonder. So you have both these proverbs, which are opposite things. But why are they opposite? It depends on the mentality of the person. So where you don't have love for somebody, out of sight, out of mind, you don't see the person, you don't remember. But if there is intense love, then distance makes the heart grow, or absence makes the heart grow fonder. Then your love increases because of that separation. So number one, separation cannot happen without love. And number two, when there is love, then when there is separation that happens, then that separation enhances or increases that love and makes it sweeter. And therefore there is alternation between separation and meeting. It's not that the meeting is not required, it's also there. But when you meet after separation, then the ecstasy of the meeting is also enhanced. But if there's meeting all the time, then you need some break, so, you know, some separation. Then the taste of the meeting again is enhanced. But as Mahaprabhu is teaching, the highest ecstasy of devotion, of love for Krishna, is in separation. In that situation where Srimati Radharani is experiencing the pinnacle of Mahabhava during that Bhramara Gita episode. Yes.
So it was quite
a... quite a gap, yes. They didn't meet for quite a while, many years. Because Krishna lived in Vrindavan, in Dwarka for almost 18 years. He was about 28 perhaps when he shifted from Mathura to Vrindavan, to Dwarka. And sometime during the Dwarka Leela, they went to Kurukshetra. So it was quite a big gap. So the separation they were feeling was very intense. But nevertheless, even when they saw Krishna, as we saw in that verse, they wanted him here. They didn't like what they saw so much. The royal paraphernalia. They wanted Krishna as the cowherd boy. Okay? All right. So we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari.